Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Fesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you...
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
It looks quite dark outside, as if there's more rain. Real quick, and I don't want to sound like an old man sitting on his front porch.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Playing about the weather. Is this the most rain you've ever seen in your entire life?
I was going to say that myself, and you said it first this morning, and I felt that yesterday. I'm like, God, it sure seems like it has rained a lot this spring, and I don't know where this ranks on record, but I agree with you, Dusty. I don't think you're being hyperbolic at all, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, every day it's raining. Every day we're seeing some sort of precip fall from the sky. So, yeah, I think it is. It feels like it anyway.
Could it rain tomorrow? Could it rain Thursday?
Just look at your 10-day forecast on your phone. Every day but Friday is rain.
Maybe I'm wrong, and I just don't pay attention as much as I was younger, but I just feel like every day it's like rain.
Yeah.
And not just like a quick little sprinkle, like a good rain, like a nice,
right,
steady
right.
rain. I don't know if anybody woke up last night to the booms, but...
I didn't. They must have come, you know, late when I was already in the REM sleep.
I didn't know anything happened until I got up this morning. My Ring app had like 8 notifications. Anybody else hear that loud boom and lose power?
Okay.
That's called a storm, Nancy.
Yeah, why do you need to post about that? Seriously, like it happens all the time.
These kids that keep riding their bikes down my street are going insanely too fast.
Oh, it's at least awesome. They're out riding bikes and not inside playing on their phones, Karen.
Royals back in action tonight. They got to get to 12 games to get to 500, and then your boy has to go on the Kansas City dating website, which we'll see if that happens. That could be awesome. Do I post a picture with Goodnut?
You do, yeah.
Hey, just here to advertise myself. So yesterday, as we were kind of wrapping the show up, the Sorsby news came out. Obviously, the kid that went to is going to Texas Tech
right.
to play football. 9,000 bets and $90,000 worth of gambling on his own team while in Indiana, basically got a slap on the wrist. Well, hold my beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's effing bull blank is what Gene Taylor told Yahoo Sports on Monday.
On the record.
I know the kids had some problems. Well, get well and focus on your problems. It's an absolute devastating for him to be able to play
yeah.
when every other sport, no matter the level, deems an athlete's ineligible or they are punished severely for betting on their team. End quote. The Big 12 athletic directors are expected to meet today. Big 12 presidents also expect to meet this week, have the ability to penalize conference members for actions detrimental to the conference or detrimental to the conference. So here's the thing. Yesterday, I thought Carrington had a really good tweet about it. He said, this is something that is rare. We all agree on this, that it's not good.
Right.
There's
Except
no
the
way.
Judge.
There's no way this kid's gonna play.
No,
this got so much backlash. Everybody was one-sided, and I always go back to, I think it was like week one of the NFL season, many, many years ago, where they tried this new like flag graphic, and by halftime it was gone.
It was gone
because
yeah,
the
yeah.
internet was like, I don't know what this is, but it needs to go. This is terrible. I don't like this. And by halftime, it had dissipated to full extent.
Yeah, they
like
got rid of it. Yep.
This is something where you got people threatening to boycott when they play Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that are like, this is insane. That means people can gamble. There's no integrity. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You had the Lubbock judge is the one that gave him the pass. I would think by the end of tomorrow, it's gonna go back to being like, hey, you can go in the supplemental draft. You're not playing college sports.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just
no.
My opinion.
You're not. There's too much smoke out there. Nobody's going to play Texas Tech. People will boycott, you know, those games, and then the TV networks will lose their money. So now they're going to be involved with this as well, because that's truly what it all comes back down to. Is wait a second, you're going to boycott the game? You're going to take the game off of TV? I need my TV money. So TV will get involved in this, and they need to expedite this. The NCAA appealed immediately yesterday when this thing came down. And they have really until June 22nd, because that's the day of the NFL supplemental draft. And so, you know, you'd like to expedite it a little bit to see if he can be eligible for the upcoming draft. But, you know, the reasoning that the courts gave yesterday, I'm sorry, I'm not buying their reasoning. They said if they kept this kid out of football, it would affect his future and his future earnings and the ability to have that the job, basically, is what they said. Right. And I'm thinking of that. I'm going, no, that doesn't work that way. People make mistakes all the time that have an impact on how their livelihoods are affected. Those are the consequences of making those mistakes. And yeah, he's young. Yeah, he made mistakes. But this also goes back to my whole thing with athletes. If we continue to let these athletes skate with no punishment whatsoever, they're never going to learn and they're never going to grow up. And so allowing this kid to play like the courts did and only having him miss the Abilene Christian game and then the game against, what was it, Oregon State, two mid-majors. You've got that one, not even in Division I.
No,
and
they
one
played Oregon.
Oregon State.
Oh, I thought it was Oregon.
No, it's Oregon State. It's Oregon State. Yeah. So it's two mid-majors, basically, that you're playing, one Division II or whatever Abilene Christian is these days. And so there's no punishment there. He's going to walk scot-free, and he's going to smirk about this and laugh about this. He made these mistakes. He needs to pay the price. And if the courts do not rule in favor of every university and the NCAA that's out there, there's going to be some serious boycotting that goes on, not just inside the Big 12 guys. The SEC say, we're not going to play any sports with Tech. And they're not just talking about football. They're talking about all sports.
Yeah.
And so it's going to have a direct impact on that entire university. This is not going to stand. This kid is not going to play college sports. Nor should he play professional sports, for that matter.
And then Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, released a statement describing the ruling as having significant ramifications across college sports and, quote, creating concern amongst our membership. He's been consulting with, quote, key stakeholders on the issue. Even outside of the Big 12, high-level college administrators say that they are left aghast.
Oh, yeah.
By a decision that many describe as disastrous and jarring. And as the NCAA statement said, corrupts the integrity of sports.
Right.
Not the sport, sports in general.
Well, so, it's funny the NCAA talking about integrity, though.
Yeah, that's rich. Yeah, of course. Yeah, coming from them.
Coming from them, yeah.
And then you got Cody Campbell, who's one of their, yeah, exactly. He's the, what's his exact title here? He's the chairman of the Board of Regents for Texas Tech University.
This is the money guy that has the oil money that's funding this whole program. Yeah.
Billionaire. And he is, man, he's outspoken. This unfortunate situation is the outcome of a broken system. I'm doing everything I can to fix it. But until there's a permanent solution, Texas Tech and its student athletes have to do the best they can to navigate and compete amid the chaos that exists in the reality of the world we live in.
Wait,
he's saying, there's no rules. Everything sucks. So instead of me trying to actually make it better and stop doing things that suck, give into it.
Yeah.
Tear it down, baby. And then that's not where it stops.
Maybe that's part of his MO to get this thing torn down so we can start anew. Because that's the only way we are going to get this thing back is by tearing the whole thing down and starting over, you know?
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean Sorsby needs to
play. No! I'm not saying that.
And that's kind of what he says in that statement to me. Then we got EMA fans. We got K-State fans. You bribe judges, then turn around and act like the savior of the sport. Cody Campbell replies, you might want to sit this one out, bub.
Okay.
Bub.
Yeah. And then he at Grok.
Bub or bum?
Bub.
Okay.
At Grok, how many Georgia football players have been arrested in the last year? That's him on Twitter. Okay. After the Georgia athletic director calls them out and says, you know, we're not going to play them in any sports. We should all be looking at them.
There have been guys that have been arrested.
This guy sucks.
There's been guys that have been arrested for driving fast or doing things like, you know, that they're not hurting the integrity of the game, not gambling on games,
ridiculous,
not affecting everybody's livelihood. Do these people in college athletics, or this guy, I should say, not realize that if this gets blown up and college athletics goes away, your identity, because that's what Cody Campbell is. He's a jock sniffer. Let's just call it what it is, that has a lot of money. He's got a lot of money. Good for him. He did life right, but he is a jock sniffer at its highest, and that's all he's doing is sniffing jock down there to try to get his football team to beat the University of Texas. That's a jock sniffer to a T, right there.
We went from good nut to jock sniffers all in 1 hour. This is where it really gets serious, because you go to the quote, I think there needs to be some serious conversation about not playing Texas Tech in any sports.
Yeah.
That was from the Georgia Athletic Director, Josh Brooks. All FBS schools should only take the field against programs operating under a uniform, trustworthy standard of fairness. We've officially reached the point of no return. Hello.
I mean, it really is nuts. Like,
after reevaluating the situation, Sorsby has been suspended and is not.
That's right.
You're going to get that today at noon.
Yeah. As they should. I mean, because again, everybody agrees on this. We talked last week about 97% of America having phones. I go, when have you ever seen 97% of America agree or do anything together, right? We've got 100% of America basically right now, or 99.9% of America, except for that Cody, whatever that guy's name is, down there in Texas, the jock sniffer. Other than that guy, it seems like everybody is united. Like, this cannot happen. It just can't. And it won't. It won't, guys. I promise you.
I agree.
This is not, he's not playing.
No.
Not when it's one-sided like it has.
No.
Not when
it's
like that.
The court of public opinion is going to win this one.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Coming up next, we get back into the NBA Finals. Plus, Mac takes it away with one word here on 96.5 The Fan, your own Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on a Tuesday.
We got some breaking news overnight. I don't know if you guys saw this. Pete Rose is now committed to Texas Tech.
Hmm. Over my dead body.
Pete Rose waking up going, damn.
I love really? I love texts like this from the 785 after we went over that whole discussion of like what should happen after what had happened.
Yeah.
Just care less is what happens. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for adding that.
Yeah.
You probably want a commissioner of college football and a salary cap in baseball too, right?
Yeah, as long as there's a floor. I still can't get over that Brewers A's game. Son of a gun. Hey, these three guys are going to hit home runs tonight because they're playing in high altitude. The ball's going to fly. All three didn't hit sense.
It's going to be interesting to see what a Major League Baseball team does in Las Vegas. Now, we've seen it out
build
in Colorado.
The grounds.
Yeah, you're going to have to build a deep ballpark,
485
right?
feet to center.
I mean, you're going to have to almost do that if those balls are flying out of that ballpark like that. You're never going to get a pitcher to go there to the A's.
No. It's like whenever, what was it, Mike Hampton?
Mike Hampton went out there and got lit up and was never the guy again.
One of the top five worst contracts in baseball.
Well, not for him it wasn't, but.
No, but team-wise is where I'm going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Terrible. But that's what it's going to be like now out there in Las Vegas. They want to put a team in Mexico City, which is like 2,000 feet higher than Las Vegas and Denver, right? You can't continue to do that. The ball's going to fly out of the ballpark all the time. You're never going to get pitchers out there.
Mac, you get a home run in Vegas. And that's not a shot at your athletic ability. You're just not a baseball player. But you could hit a home run in Las Vegas. You just got to get underneath it. And then that thin air. Real quickly, before we get back to the finals, scale of 1 to 10, text line, feel free to chime in as well, 913-586-7965. Or if you're watching, hi. Scale of 1 to 10 of excitement, L'Jarius Sneed back on the Chiefs.
It's mid for me. There's not excitement, not down. It's fine. It's just a signing. If he didn't play here before, it's about five. Yeah. If he didn't play here before, it would have been off the radar.
8. I'm joking. Yeah. I think I'm about a 7. It's a big body. It's experience. What does it mean? We'll have Josh Briscoe on the show in the 9 o'clock block. He wrote an article about it. What it means for Sneed back on the Kansas City Chiefs roster. Fulton's got to have some questions, I think. But other than that, I mean, you have a big body out there in the secondary, some experience. His best years as a player were with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll see if that knee is sustainable throughout the season, and we'll see how he looks as the mandatory minicamp starts today. But yeah, I'm about a 7 out of 10, Mac. I don't know where you're at.
Yeah, it's like a no harm, no foul signing. And again, if he wasn't here before, it would just be kind of another guy.
$5 million, you know, incentive base.
That's coming into the system. But I mean, kind of shrewd by the Chiefs. I mean, I saw a lot of comparisons yesterday to people saying, oh, they're doing the Patriots playbook. Trade a guy at his peak, get collateral back and then bring him back at 100%. The end. But
why not? You know, he worked for them for 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He's essentially, though, not played for the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or at least the last year anyway, that he he's not been on the field.
Like 12 games or something over the last couple of seasons.
Over the last, since he's been gone, right? Yeah. Kelly Clarkson, shout out. But, you know, so he hasn't played a whole heck of a lot. And he's got the injury that he's dealing with. He's a couple of years older than he was when he left here. Everybody always thinks it's going to be old home week again, and everybody's going to be the same when they come back. But if he can add some veteran presence and experience inside that locker room for those young kids and inside, really inside the defensive meeting rooms, quite honestly, to help these guys along. Because you look at the position, right? It's very young. We know Spags' system is a little bit difficult to handle. Sometimes you need that leader, which they were lacking last year, in Justin Reed being down in New Orleans and no longer part of this football team. And so you had, you know, the lack of leadership. And so maybe Legarius Sneed comes in and he becomes that voice, that leader, that kind of, you know, big brother in the room, if you will, that you can go to and pick his brain for. So from that standpoint, I like it. But, you know, it's fine. It's a signing. It's another guy.
2024, five games. 2025, seven games.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. 12 games.
12 games in 2 years. That's
tough. And
when
he was with the Chiefs, 2023, 16 games, 16 started. 17 games, 17 started. 15 games, 15 started.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Yeah, battled through that knee. We knew the knee was a thing, and Titans fans were nervous when they signed him. How bad's the knee? And obviously, it wasn't great. I will caution the games played metric for those really worried about Sneed. As in last year, I think he could have played more games. I think him and the Titans were done. That was GG's on that. So that road had ended for him.
And but I thought I had heard that too. Like he was kind of he didn't want to be there.
Didn't want him there.
Mac
he didn't
want to
be there. Yeah, that's true. I'll go. It's a 10 as long as his role is correct. It's a 0 if he takes away playing time from the young guys. This is completely dependent on how Spags implements him. If he's in there ahead of Noah Williams and taking snaps from Mansoor Delaney, 0. Negative. Get him out of here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't. And Brett Veach, that would be my question. I'm not doing this for you unless you promise me these young guys that we drafted that are the future of this defense, like you did in 2022, you got to play them. That's the last time we've really seen him, you know, because he had to rely on those young guys. And that's my only caution with the signing. But no, absolutely, it's a 10 as long as he plays him in the correct role. It's a veteran. He knows the system. Yeah, absolutely. And they need bodies. This is a mid-cornerback room right now.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point, Mac, and one that I didn't really think of. Like, if you fall back on, well, it's just easy. Because we all do that in life, right? You just kind of fall back into your old habits. It's easier that way. It's fine. But you know what? You traded him for a reason a couple of years ago. You kind of knew the knee injury was there. Had a bad attitude when he was down in Tennessee. And I'm with you. I don't want him blocking the path of any of these guys. And quite honestly, Mac, I didn't even think of it that way. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because my whole thought process was he's just going to come in here and be a dude. Your thought process was, oh my God, he may come and take playing time from the younger guys. And I'm like, God, I hope that doesn't happen. There's no reason for Legarius Sneed to be taking playing time from anybody. And if he is, then we've got bigger issues, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Way bigger.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like your, I don't know, maybe a nickel corner, like a guy that can hawk the middle of the field, because we know he's really good at forcing turnovers through contact, not really the interception type of guy. And to your point with Justin Reed being gone last year, they missed a guy that can go in there, because going back to Mac's point as well, back in 2022 when everybody was young and they had to play everybody, Legarius Sneed was basically the vet. Mm-hmm. And we knew that he was on his way out because of the way the contracts work with corners with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And he now is, again, a vet with a bunch of young guys in a room. So you hope that works.
Yeah. And maybe he's not that guy, though. I don't know if he's the leader. I don't know if he's a teacher on the field, or if he wants to be. He probably wants to come here and compete and win that starting job. That's the way he should be acting like coming into this camp.
Last night, game 3 delivers again, like it does always in the playoffs. Mm. Tonight we'll get game 4. Of the Stanley Cup Finals, which is going to be great, or just the Stanley Cup. And I thought last night was one of those games where Mac hit the nail on top of the head earlier, where this is when I think we don't think about the easy take. Last night was a perfect situation for the Spurs.
It was, absolutely.
They don't know anything about playoffs in the Garden. They have the best player on the floor, and the way that security was and to get into the game through, I think, the vibe off in the city and the Knicks maybe a little bit like, this isn't like normal. Yeah. Like that we had Shams talking about, you know, OG and Brunson going through all the security and how it was annoying. And then you just have, you know, Spurs are like, well, this isn't really any different to us. This is just another day. So I think there was a good advantage with the Spurs going to that game last night. Still a pretty solid basketball game in general. But Wemby showed up when it mattered and Stephon Castle was a
he
dude
was a beast last night, man. He was fantastic last night. You got to give credit to Matt.
And they came
man.
Off that
great.
Game where they puked all over themselves, right? Wimby threw it to Castle.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Castle and Wimby might have been on different pages in that moment where he thought, oh, okay, Wimby's going to take it up. Where Wimby's like, no, I was just going to go this far. Mm-hmm. And then they come back, rebound, and you know, really showed that they are the Spurs and they're here for a reason. They're not going to get swept. Maybe there's a chance we see all the road teams win. That'd be great. But it is now 2-1, game four, Wednesday night at 7:30 on ABC.
Yeah, and the network's got their fifth game at least, right? And so that's a moneymaker for them. But I think there's a lot to kind of digest from that game last night, and I don't think it really has anything, in my opinion, to do with the game. I think the Knicks and the city of New York, and I'm not even talking Knicks fans, I'm talking the city of New York and the Knicks last night, for the first time in my lifetime, and I've been on this earth for almost 50 years and spent 18 years of my first 18 living outside of New York City, and obviously I still follow it very well, but for the first time in my life, I saw the city overwhelmed yesterday. Like, New York City itself was overwhelmed because of everything that was going on. And so I think that was kind of channeled into the Knicks. I think they played a little overwhelmed at the beginning of that game. I think they played overwhelmed at times throughout the course of the game. They always felt like they were in a rush to get things done. It felt fast. And the Spurs came in calm. And what we saw goes back to really the way that game two ended and what Wemby said after game two. He goes, I still haven't come down from the high of game seven of beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. And now we're down 2-0. And so Wemby refocused his thinking, went into the park yesterday, drew pictures. Everybody was mocking him from doing that. But what that guy did, and I think it's a good lesson for a lot of us, he refocused his mind. And he got his mind right. And the Spurs played with that zen, calm, this isn't a big deal attitude. Meanwhile, you had the entire city of New York bitching about things they've never bitched about. You had said to me when we were there, you're like, there's nothing mentioning the World Cup. And I said, New York didn't even know the Super Bowl was here. They don't get caught up in big stuff. They got caught up in this yesterday. The entire city, with the president being there, the security, half of Manhattan being shut down yesterday.
Shams lost his AirPods.
Yeah, Shams lost his AirPods. Nobody could get trains to get home. I mean, it was a disaster for people yesterday.
Had you been able to handle the subway yesterday?
I would have been all right once I was on it.
Okay.
It would be just like navigating down and all of that kind of crap with the lines and stuff. But I did. I mean, when you see New Yorkers complaining about chaos, you know it's jumped the shark. And I think, and again, not an excuse, but I think New York and the Knicks got caught up in everything yesterday, and the Spurs went out there, for lack of a better term, man, they got stoic in the garage, and they refocused their mind, and they look like the team that was full of the zen yesterday, and the Knicks look like the team that was like just scatterbrained.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. You hear that sounder, you know it's 7:30 and it's One Word, and it's brought to you by Maloney's, the Sand Trap and the Landing. Three great local spots, delicious food, cold drinks, TVs galore to watch your favorite sports team. Royals back on action tonight at 6:40, 7 o'clock, Stanley Cup. All three with outdoor patio sitting to enjoy the spring weather. And don't forget, it's Taco Tuesday at Maloney's. Tacos and burritos, $4.50 Mexican beers and margaritas, and $6 double marks. Sounds like a hell of a place to be to watch some sports, if you ask me. Smash. At Maloney's.
Was there yesterday. I had a smash burger taco. So good.
Was it good?
No, it was really good.
Okay.
It was gas. It was
How
fire.
Many did you smash? One? Two?
Two.
Not one, not two, not three, not yeah. four.
How many did they end up winning down there, the Heatles?
Two.
Two?
Two. Lost two, won two.
Yep. Yep. Went to four in a row, I guess. Alrighty. Let's start with the Chiefs. One word. Peter Woods, Mansoor Delane, they get the rookie deals done. Mansoor Delane, 4 years, 41.9, fully guaranteed. And then for Peter Woods, 4 years, $18 million, fully guaranteed. Man, just being down later in that first round makes a world of difference. One word.
Slotted is the word I'm going to use, but you stole my thunder there,
sorry,
man.
Sorry.
Hey, kids, be a top 10 pick. First round pick sounds great. $41 million to $18 million.
It's nuts.
I mean, Peter Woods is getting half the amount of money, less than half the amount of money that Delane is getting. That is crazy. I didn't realize the chasm was that big from where he was picked to where Peter Woods was picked. I thought, obviously, you get paid higher. I didn't realize it was that huge of a gap, though.
Over $20 million for just 20 picks. It's over $1 million a pick.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but that's crazy.
Yeah, one word on the two guys getting signed. Mm-hmm. Inked. Over with. Don't have to worry about it. Yep. You know how you have those guys who get drafted and we get into like July and it's like...
That really doesn't happen anymore with the slotted money. And if it did, that guy's just didn't want to play for the Bengals last year. Remember that guy? I don't blame him.
Yeah, but it could be a big distraction.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, where is Delane? Well, we're still working on things. We'll get into that. Yeah. And that's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah, Carl Peterson loved those fights with the agents and getting guys. Like, every year when he was the GM, it was like, is Derek Johnson going to be here? Is John Tate going to be here? Is the first round pick going to be here? He loved those battles. I'm glad we don't have to do them anymore. But if you are still holding out as a player, you're either going to the Bengals, which they suck, or something's not right with you. Because it's just slotted money, man. It's like there's not real negotiations anymore.
One word, Snead. Legere Snead back here. 1 year deal worth up to $5 million. Very incentive based.
Depth. That's kind of how I view it. And that's the way I hope the Chiefs view it as well. He's not a starter, guys. And I don't think they're viewing him as a starter.
I don't think so.
My one word would be safety. Could he play safety? Is he a safety net for the players? Is he a safety play for your defense that lacks experience? You could use that word to describe it all.
Knicks drop game 3. The Spurs are still alive. They win in the Garden. I saw this on Twitter as a discussion. One word on the Knicks being the best fan base in sports.
I don't know what the answer to that question is. No, I mean, loyal, yes. Best? How do we define best? I think we're caught up in the moment on that right now. Mm-hmm. So I'll say moment is the one word that I will use. We'll have the next best fan base next year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would throw the Bills above them. Anybody that goes out and still watches the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Because you can poo-poo on the Browns all you want. Got a pretty loyal fan base.
Hell yes, they do.
Absolutely. They consistently show up knowing damn well they are not going to be good, yet they're there week 16. Whether they have a bag on their head or not, they're there.
Yeah.
They pay money to go watch that horrible product. So, yeah, moment, I think, is kind of how Fesco said it. But, look, this is the first time since 99. They have a chance to win a title for the first time in 53 years. Yeah, let's just...
Because your team has been bad and you've suffered doesn't make you the best fan base, you know? And so that's on your team. The Browns, I do agree with Dusty, though. Those folks show up, man. They're there. All the Royals fans. I always used to tell people, you know, when the Chiefs and Royals were, you know, back in the early aughts, and people would say, oh, Boston's the best sports fans. Like, no. We're watching a Chiefs team that can't get out of their own way and a Royals team that loses 100 a year. The Chiefs and Royals fans are better fans than rooting for a winner. So, yeah, I tend to lean towards maybe the Browns are the best fan base.
Well, at least they can have that title. That's good.
Yeah, because they get nothing else for it, you know?
A participation trophy for them.
Yeah.
One word, feels like the tide's starting to shift with Victor Wembanyama a little bit, and it may just be my social media feed, but it seems like people are starting to turn on the new and uprising face. One word on Wemby being hateable.
Good. I mean, that's something that you want. You want to be, in any sort of entertainment industry, polarizing. You don't want somebody to go, that person's okay. You want either somebody to hate you or somebody to love you. And when you're an athlete like Wemby, you want people to hate you. They'll hate watch you, and that fuels you a little bit. Ask Patrick Mahomes. So I think that's good that people are starting to kind of put the heel on Victor.
Advertised, right? We've seen now twice in the playoffs he's had some punk moves. That one to Brunson last night, that's not friendly fire.
No, it was not.
That's a, hey, I'm 22, but damn it, I'm here. And then the elbow that, you know, ruffled some feathers. That length, that size, that's that type of athlete. If you don't, like, this is where it's contradicting in my opinion. If you don't have that sort of, like, style, you're going to get pushed around. Mm. Like, they're just going to maul over you. They're going to disrespect you, all sorts of things. But if you kind of, you know, as long as it's not like malicious, like the elbow was a little much for me last night, the shove down, that's fine. That's nobody's losing a game.
Yeah.
No one's going to face an injury. Mm-hmm. But the elbow to the neck's tough.
Elbow was crazy.
Find the line between those two and let's have a Christian Laettner type of, you know, aura in your game, and I'm okay with that.
It sounds a lot like the conversations I have with my daughter about soccer sometimes, too. Okay, you can't do that. Find a way to do this, but don't do that. And he's 22 years old. He'll learn eventually. Oh, yeah. But also, too, the fact you say, you know, starting to see that he's hated. He's also 7'6". People know who he is, you know, and that's the other thing. And that lends to hate as well. Even if they're not diehard basketball fans, people will get tired of seeing Wemby, just like they did with Mahomes again, you know.
This comes from Eric Graves over at KNBC. Here's a look at Algeria's setup at the Doubletree Inn in Lawrence, Kansas. An interesting note, Algeria doesn't have the entire hotel. Part of that Doubletree still has regular guests who had no idea they were sharing a hotel with the team playing in the World Cup next week. One word.
Awesome. I mean, it's a soccer team. They don't need a whole hotel.
Yeah.
They really don't. No. I mean, how many people are on a team? 30? Traveling party of 30, maybe?
Yeah. With the coaches
and all that kind of, you don't need a whole hotel for that. Nor should you get a whole hotel unless you're paying for every damn room in there at the normal everyday rate. But with FIFA, you know they're not doing that. They're getting a deal. So these hotels need to make money. I hope they're all loud, and I hope they load these hotels up with fans that make it, you know, very loud for all these teams, because the hotels need to make money now.
Yeah, scam FIFA. Get bent hard.
FIFA.
Yeah.
Big Ten officials expected to discuss this week a league-wide mandate to not play Texas Tech in any sports. And this comes obviously after Brennan Sorsby was granted eligibility. We heard the Kansas State Athletic Director say this is effing BS on the record. And lots of other people have come out against this one word on this whole situation.
Nuts. Seriously, it's nuts. It's crazy. I can't believe a court ruled this way. I mean, people, Texas, man. Where football means more than anything, which it does, and especially in West Texas, where they have nothing but oil and great, good for them and money.
Cold out today, cold out yesterday.
Yeah, but this is an opportunity for Texas Tech, right, to actually be good and finally, you know, stop being the redheaded stepchild of Texas, you know, football down there with, you know, Texas A&M. They finally saw their opening. They've got a jock sniffer writing big checks because he probably loved sports as a child or whatever. Now he's scratching checks down there and trying to do whatever it is to get his team to play. And now they face this, and now they don't know what to do. And so it's panic mode. But this is going to get appealed. This kid's not playing. If he does play in college sports, you're going to have some serious issues.
My one word is appealing. One word that is brought to you by Maloney's Sand Trap and The Landing. Three great local spots with delicious food. As Mac had mentioned, he went there last night and had some of those smashed burger tacos. But today at Maloney's, where they have TVs galore, you can watch all your favorite sports teams. You can do that at The Landing and The Sand Trap and enjoy this nice spring weather on their patio. And today at Maloney's, tacos and burritos, $4.50 Mexican beers and margaritas, and $6 double margaritas as well. That is all at Maloney's. Coming up next, it's back. The list. Where's Patrick Mahomes? Get ready for some range bait. Range, rage, whatever it is. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Rolling along here on a Wednesday as the weather looks appetizing for a nap.
Boy, I'll tell you, you look out there right now, it is dark, 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 and those storms are moving in. But by the time we're off the air today, maybe by the 9 o'clock, I'm sure it'll be sunny and humid out there, right?
Is it better to get busy in this weather or like 3 o'clock on a Saturday when you've been having fun at the pool?
This weather.
Okay.
It's nice snuggle weather.
Matt?
Anytime's great time.
Okay, figured so. He's a growing boy. So it is that time of the year where we get to have some fun content with the NFL Network, because it's once again
when they do the top 100 list.
Who do you think will be number one on the list this year?
Oof, that's tough.
Number one.
The number one player in the NFL is
Josh Allen.
I'm gonna go with Pat.
Probably Miles.
I'm gonna say 10.
Number nine, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, Iceman.
Bijan Robinson.
God willing, I would say me. Just humbly.
Meyer just did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
JSN's probably up there.
Yeah.
CMC. Not just because he's my locker buddy and he watched me do the list.
So players vote on who the top 100 players are. One of the names we heard in there is going to be the number one player. And I didn't think about it until now, but it's obvious who number one is.
CMC.
No, it's Myles Garrett. He had the record year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your MVP was Matthew Stafford. That's who I think is going to be one. But now knowing that somebody said Myles Garrett and thinking about what he did last year and how great he is, and there wasn't really like a quarterback that
right,
really went
right,
like,
yeah.
You know,
you're right, yeah.
I mean, our MVP vote came down to Drake May and Matthew Stafford.
That's fair.
And our argument was Matthew Stafford gets all of his touchdowns inside the five. Oh, gosh darn it.
Right. Well, he's getting touchdowns.
Right. So double-sided question. Who do you think is number one, and where do you think Mahomes is on the list?
Man, when I heard him say CMC, that like really got me interested. I was like, oh, that's an interesting one right there, because you could make the case that he is the best player. I mean, this guy runs the ball, catches the ball, I mean, does everything you possibly want, one of the hardest guys to bring down. He's a weapon out there in San Francisco.
And he'll never win MVP.
I know he won't. I know.
And, is that more bizarre than Nolan Ryan never winning Cy Young?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Nolan Ryan is arguably the greatest of all time, and he never won the Cy Young Award, 7 no-hitters. I mean, come on. Nolan Ryan, I mean, not winning the Cy Young Award is terrible, but Christian McCaffrey not getting an opportunity to win the MVP sucks too, because, man, he does everything for that team. And so you could make the case that he could be the number one player in the NFL. I think I would lean towards him more than I would lean towards Myles Garrett. And this is not, it's going to get taken out of context, I know, but Myles Garrett, he gets you your sacks, right? He's your sack machine, the one dimension that he dominates. Christian McCaffrey dominates in multiple areas, and I think the big catalyst, obviously, for that offense out in San Francisco. So I would go with Christian McCaffrey. I still think Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the top 10 because, as Creed Humphrey said, Pat, you know, everybody still believes, I think from a player perspective, that Patrick Mahomes is still him.
This will be 3 years in a row. Because I think you're right. I think it'll be Myles Garrett or Christian McCaffrey. I don't think it'll be a quarterback. 3 years in a row that it won't be a quarterback.
And I'm good with that. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Who was it last year?
It was Saquon.
And then the year before?
Tyreek.
Oh, that's
right. That's right. Yeah.
And
then Tyreek Hill.
And wasn't it Allen the year before that? Or was it Mahomes? Mahomes that year?
Yeah. And so I think it's kind of cool that the players, because the players vote on this, that they're voting on it not based on who the best quarterback is in the NFL. We get into that kind of trap, guys, all the time, I think, when we talk MVP. And it's no offense to the voters or anything like that, but they, seemingly they don't look at anybody other than a quarterback at that position. We don't allow some of these guys to really stand out and do their thing and get recognition and praise for it because they don't play the quarterback position. I mean, Dusty, when you said just now that we had an MVP vote come down between Drake May and Sam Darnold.
No, Stafford.
Or Stafford. I kind of went, really? That's we had that conversation? Like, that's where it was last year? Myles Garrett set the sack record. Christian McCaffrey dominates in every single game in which he participates. We don't have to always give these awards and the top honors to the quarterback. So I love the fact the last couple of years it hasn't gone to the quarterbacks.
And for the people in the text line, it says McCaffrey stay healthy first. He kind of gets categorized in that Hollywood Brown thing because he's only had 2 years. I guess you could say 3 years. 2024, 2020, and 2021. Other than that, he's played an entire slate of NFL games. Legitimately. He played in 17 in 22 and when he was with Carolina and San Francisco. 2020, he played in 3 games. 2021, he played in 7. And then 2024, he played in 4. Last year, he played in all 17 games that he started in all 17. It's not injuries. He just happens to go up against juggernauts every time against a quarterback. Because I think 1 year he was up for the MVP, he lost to a unanimous vote to Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
And then I think another year he lost to, I forget who it was, but it was another quarterback where the votes, it might have been Allen or Mahomes that year. What's also insane to me is that you mentioned Myles Garrett, Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey. And this is all their 10th year in the league, and they all came from the same draft.
Crazy.
It's insane.
It's so nuts. That is, yeah. Wow.
I mean, the 2017 draft class is something of a beaut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first overall pick was Myles Garrett. We know Mitch Trubisky went 2 to the Bears.
Right.
But then you have Leonard Fournette. Pretty good career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, and a slew of other stars within that first round, let alone the second round of picks.
That's crazy when you think about that. Yeah, that may go down as one of the best drafts in NFL history. And, you know, so Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he is more valuable to his team than just about anybody else out there in the NFL. If you take him out of that, and as much as I love Kyle Shanahan and what he's done out there, but you take Christian McCaffrey out of that offense, Kyle Shanahan's job just became 1,000 times harder.
This is that draft as well.
They could lose Brock Purdy before they lose Christian McCaffrey, and I think people would be okay.
Right. Corey Davis was Mac's guy in Tennessee. He just didn't pan out in the league. I'm kidding. But, I mean, you had Jamal Adams in that draft, yeah. Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun Watson, Hassan Reddick, Derek Barnett, Malik Hooker, Marlon Humphrey, Jonathan Allen.
I mean, that's a who's who of the league for the last 10 years.
I mean, that's been the league.
Yep.
I mean, you have maybe argue in one draft and in the first 10 picks, you have maybe possibly the best player of their position for that decade.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, Myles Garrett, and Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Like, I don't know what you would tell me if you had gun to your head, Christian McCaffrey, Jahmyr Gibbs, or Bijan Robinson for one season. Not dynasty mode, Mac Morey.
Yeah.
But like one season. I mean, just because you got to think, you know how they always say, like, you got to take advantage of having your quarterback and its youth and getting the playoffs. That's what they're doing in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like Brock Purdy without Christian McCaffrey, whoever plays quarterback, Mac Jones or whoever it may be, they are dependent on what he can do because of the Swiss Army effect and being a pass catcher, being a runner, being a blocker, being there every single down. So it's just kind of interesting what that 2010 draft or 2017 class was.
I think that San Francisco thing, as Dusty was talking, made me think a little bit. Is there another team in the NFL where losing a quote unquote weapon would be worse than losing the quarterback?
Maybe in Philly.
Yeah, in Philly. Yeah.
I'd like to see Lamar without Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Barkley.
Barkley's probably your answer.
Barkley or McCaffrey. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Jalen Hurts. Didn't he make the Super Bowl before Barkley, right? The first Chiefs Super Bowl was before Barkley mm-hmm. was on that team. So he's proven himself there.
Yeah, I guess. If you want to say one player, that's fine. Yeah. In that way, I mean, he still had the best offense in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact
at every position.
The fact of the matter is, though, there's not many in the NFL where if you take a running back or a wide receiver away, your team is decimated. That happens in San Francisco. That's why I think you look at him as a legitimate MVP candidate.
Other notable names in that 2017 draft class, TJ Watt, David Njoku, Tre'Davious White, Buda Baker, Joe Mixon, Juju Smith-Schuster, Cooper Kupp, Alvin Kamara.
It's crazy. Stack.
I mean, dude. That's just nuts, man. That draft class is just absolutely insane. 2017 NFL draft might be the best draft of all time.
Does Mahomes make the top 10 in this top 100?
Yeah, I think he does.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I hope he does, but I think they're going to be like, well, he's got a knee injury,
I hope he's in like 30th place or something. Oh, so yeah, that
lower
really
better.
Because I want to know how many Chiefs make it.
He was fifth last year.
Yeah. How many Chiefs make it? Mahomes,
Creed,
Ken Walker, Creed, Trey, Kelsey. Chris Jones, Kelsey, Butker. Now, Butker probably was not that.
No. But I bet Brendan Aubrey's high up on the list, higher than people will probably think he should be. He a top 30 in the top 100, Brandon Aubrey?
Man, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think players look at it like that, but maybe they do. Maybe.
I mean,
I just think about the player's perspective.
Sure.
I don't think they're going to be.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
You're like, oh yeah, Brandon Aubrey, that guy's a dog. Maybe they will. It went six last year, the Chiefs.
Six. Okay.
I imagine it'll be the same.
Yeah, there's nobody. Well, Ken Walker comes in who leaves.
Yeah, McDuffie.
McDuffie, fair point. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Coming up next, it's Bob's Bonehead of the Week here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.